Spirit. just wanted to get up this morning and really take up our prayer requests. Hopefully we'll hear from some other folks today that I don't know why I need to turn this on. I guess I do. Alright.
Well, we got a lot to pray for today. We'll pray for Brother Durham. Those who weren't here in Bible study, he had a brain aneurysm and had to have surgery, and want to pray for him. He's on the mend, though. Looked to make a recovery, and very lucky to be alive. But the Lord's hand was on him, we know that. And want to continue to pray for Pat Arthurs up in Republic, Missouri. She's in the hospital after having her kidney along with the tumor removed, and she's off a ventilator, sitting up in bed, looks to make a recovery from the surgery. And even though the cancer she has is terminal, we're just going to have to hope for a miracle. Pray for Sister Elsie, having a terrible time. Radiation, she had two more treatments, but she just said she couldn't do anymore. Just give her too much pain, burning her esophagus, I guess, is giving her the main problem. Isn't that right, Brother Al? Right. So, just going to have to trust the Lord and just keep her in your prayers, and pray for her today, and keep praying for her. Pray for the church in Paragould. Bass family, Brother Bass passed away, it's Brother Weiniger, and I guess Sister Weiniger went with him, and okay, and Dad went to this morning to be with them, go to the funeral. Sister Sandrus was in the hospital with a reaction to a spider bite. Dropped her blood pressure way down. She had all kinds of problems, but she's out of the woods and on the mend. But she's still not feeling good. She just got out of hospital yesterday. Is that right? She got out yesterday morning. So, she wants to keep to pray for her. Pray for those are all that aren't here today. Brenda Ratliff, that's right. She went to she was having blurry vision, headaches, and all kinds of weak spell or something. Went to the hospital, found she's diabetic. Sugar level was over 100. I mean 500. But she's back home. They've got her on the right track, I think. Get that under control. So then there was what was the brother's name that had cancer? That was some sort of brother. No, we already mentioned him. Brother Wood, we'll pray for Brother Wood. That's still in the hospital from Springdale. We'll pray for him. He's a long way from being out of the woods, so just continue to pray for him. ICU, regular room. I know how these blood clots go. I had an assistant working for me. And she was in the hospital for a long time trying to get this blood clot dissolved. It was in her lung. This is at the base of his skull and in his shoulder, so very dangerous still. A lot of complications can happen from that, including stroke, including the medicine they give him, the Coumadin, can cause bleeding. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, they've really got to watch for him. So in prayer for him. And the one I'm trying to think of is the one that Brother Mike Crafton said he used to be his stepdad at one point. Jim Dodge. Okay, there we go. That's what I was trying to think of. Pray for him. He's got cancer. Pray for him. So, Brother Adams up in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Sister Linda. Sister Dolores and Sister Bonnie are both sick this morning. Okay. Nana, my grandma, she's not doing good at all. Anybody else have their hand up? Sister Gladys. Talking about, she's saying her somebody from where? Down in Texas, they bring them to Children's. Preemie has to be on a ventilator, incubator. Needs special care, neonatal special care, and they're bringing them to Children's. And without it, he's not doing good, so they have to keep him in that situation. So little babies are precious. Sister Lynette needs prayer.
Over a year or longer with real serious back pain. And we really need, I need him to get in touch. It's hard for him to work. Miserable most of the time. Sitting very long.
Fred Stewart, you pray for him, his back. He had chronic back problems. All right. Let's stand, take these knees before the Lord. Yeah. Sister Karen, pray for Karen. Yes. Sister Tiffany called, she's out of town. The Tallies are out of town. The Fisher are out of town. So be safe on their travels, Sister Ann. Sister Ann needs everybody's prayers. Okay. All right. Brother Danielson's prayer for his blood pressure. Keith Dotson has special unspoken requests. All right. Holly's job situation, what's a daytime position? All right. Let's stand and pray. Kneel in the Hearst Church and pray for them. And I think I've got a song I'll sing instead of a band song. Dear ushers, come forward. Dear Lord, we these needs before you today, Lord. Everyone, you heard everyone here today, all the needs for the cancer. And the different sicknesses that are serious. Brother Durham, Lord, you know us. Brother Wood, oh God, dear Jesus. I ask you, Lord, be with them and cover them in their situation. Brother Brother Bass in the church there in Paragould, the family there, cover them, give them a good funeral today. Just touch them. Dear Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to... Every unspoken request, everyone here, Brother Fred, Sister Lynette, Brother Daniels, Brother Dodge, oh God, everyone that's not here today on their travels, dear Jesus, dear Lord, dear Jesus, oh God, protect us, we need you, Lord, oh God, we need your help today.
There is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe it. As if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders. I know my brother that he will carry you. And if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know my sister that he will carry you. Problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know my brother that He will carry. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know my sister that He will carry you. He said, come unto me, if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know my brother that He will carry you. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, sister, that He will carry you. There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. I know my brother that He will carry.
Song, God can carry us. I believe that. This week has been a real week for some of our saints. It seemed like every time I opened up the Facebook, I was seeing somebody else did something else. But God can carry us through this situation with Brother Durham. That's the same thing that happened with you. Am I right, Sister Crow? Yeah, God was with us on that one. And that brother back here, isn't that what happened with our sister that we lost in Republic? Wasn't it an aneurysm? So,
we don't know if it was aneurysm, blood clot, we don't know yet.
I see. Anyway, that's a serious situation. It's a serious situation. Our bodies, you know, we can only take so much. We're only so tough. And that's it. It's like we can just shut down with almost nothing. You know, it's odd. When I was younger, I thought that I did do a lot of crazy things. Jumping off houses and jumping off, you know, we'd haul hay and I'd jump off the hay. And, you know, I never really drove real fast. Not really compared to some. But, you know, God protects us. Even in our youth. What is that saying? God watches over. Fools and little children. And I think I fell into the category a lot of times of fools. I was thinking this week of, through my life. You know, it's easy to think of yourself as a failure. But you know what? If we got Jesus in our life, we're not really a failure. We're not. I was driving down the road thinking of all the stuff I've tore up through my life. I've tore up some stuff through my life. But, you know, God's protected me. He's watched over me. And even, brother, I really don't have, I'm just talking simple. I just wanted to get up and just give God a praise.
We simply want to hear you.
I hear you. Okay, there Okay. I'm saying. But I did have a thought this week. That's a little bit off track, but it's something I was thinking about this week. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want to share this thought with you. And I'm going to use this example. And we got a Bible full of examples, as a matter of fact, but this is just an example here of late. You know, some of us older people remember this. But my wife and I went over to Memphis a week ago to that Graceland over there. Went through all that and toured all that. And I felt like that man was a great man, that singer, that Elvis Presley. He was a great singer. I really liked his music. But there was a reason why that were men. This was something I woke up one morning this week thinking about this. And we've been saying that here in our church right here for years. It's amazing. Brother Smith was talking this morning about how something can just go right over the top of your head. As simple as Brother Tucker made things, some of it still went right over my head. Brother Liniger, Brother Weiniger, Brother Smith seems to be able to break it down simple enough where I can understand it. I said something to him one day about breaking something down simple. Brother Paul, I broke it down as simple as I can. Anyway, but I appreciate him doing that. But I was thinking, you know, we talk about what we are, and Sister Crow, I've heard her say this many times, is got to be inside of us. It has to be, or we're just putting on a front. I woke up thinking about this. And the reason I was thinking about it again is I spent this week, I didn't read my Bible. I had my horn in my truck. I always carry it with me. I played it 5 minutes, and it just wasn't there. I put the horn up. I said, I don't know what's the matter with me. You ever talk to yourself? You remember David in the Bible. He encouraged himself when he was down in the land of the Philistines. And what was that group of people that come down there and burned everything he had and stole his wife and children and all that? I think you're right. Anyway, David asked permission from God to go get him, or if he should go get him. God told him, go, I'll be with you. But David had to encourage himself. And I was thinking, I woke up thinking about that, and we had just made that trip over there. The reason that man was able to do so well on the stage is because it was inside of him. He didn't just do that, what he did on stage, when he stepped out on stage. That was inside of him. Y'all heard the way I'm wording this, but when he was in the shower, of all places to sing, best place I've found. Acoustics are great. But I'm sure that man did it in the shower, in the car when he was riding down the road, probably wherever he was. It was going through his head. Yeah, and we say our mind is our heart. I say that. I believe that. When the Bible talks about our heart, it's talking about our mind. Brother Smith was talking about this last weekend. It's got to be inside of us. And I was laying there in bed thinking, I woke up at, I can't remember, 4 o'clock in the morning or something. No, it was 3:30. I woke up thinking about it. I thought, you know, if any of us, if we live every day like we believe, well, you was asking that, you were saying that this morning, you know, if you question yourself, and I've done that. I've questioned myself, do I really believe what I've been taught? Brother Fisher was talking Sunday, and he was just rehearsing what I said. If we really want to be a light when we walk down the street, it's got to be inside of us. Not just we're in front of people. Even that meeting, Brother Talley and I went down to Houston. Brother Wright was talking about it. He said, and he hit me right between the eyes when he said it. He said, when you're all by yourself, nobody's around but you, what you are right there, when nobody's looking, that's what you are. That is what you are. And I thought, God, I need help. I need help. Because when I'm by myself, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be that for more than one reason. Number one, I want to please my Heavenly Father. You know, when he looked down at Jesus, and he made the statement, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had it inside of him. He wasn't just putting on a front when he was hanging on the cross. Oh, I'm just going to hang here and maybe these people will believe on me. Maybe if I somehow or another put on a front long enough, you know, maybe it'll work. He wasn't putting on a front. That was him. That was him. And y'all forgive me for using this for an example too, but I've been thinking, I have really got aggravated over Uncle Sam making rules and regulations like as though the general public ain't got sense enough to pour water out of a hip boot. You know, they think somebody needs to hold our hand every single day. That has really absolutely ran me crazy. I thought, man, I really don't like that at all. And I know the day's coming. We've been told this for years, that they're going to make rules because it's not in their heart that's going to prohibit or try to prohibit us from living what's going to be in, what we're trying to get in our heart. Now, am I the only one that talks to myself when I'm by myself? If y'all ever drive by me and you see me driving around and I'm just talking away, will y'all pretend I'm talking on the telephone or something? If I look over and see y'all, I probably will pretend I'm talking on the telephone. I'll probably just, you know, reach in. Oh, you know. But they say a person's losing is crazy, I think, that talks to themselves, ain't they? Ain't that what they say? Huh? Okay, well, maybe. Well, I was told that the reason we talk to ourselves is because we like to talk to intelligent people, and we also like to listen to them. Will y'all let me bow with that one? Okay. All right. I was talking about Jesus. You know, he wasn't putting on a front. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, I lost it there for a second. I'm sorry. When this beast system, Brother Smith was talking about last week, give me something to think about all week. When this dragon gives its power to the beast, and they make rules that prohibits us from walking the pathway of righteousness, is what I feel. You know, my question I ask myself is, will you continue to be what you know you need to be? I ask myself that. And then I know I've got to get it inside of me so strong that I won't stop. And we won't operate out of fear. We're not scared. Because we know, even when we leave this life, we're not hurting. We're still in the hands of the one we trust most. We're still in the hands of the one we trust most. And, you know, I think I've told y'all before, I don't mind dying. I just don't want to go through all that pain ahead of time. If there's some way I can bypass all that. But you know what? Jesus went through pain. And he was proven that he wanted to be on the winning side. The winning side. Jesus was on the winning side. And that's what I want to be, is on the winning side. I want to be his. And I want to have this through and through. Brother Tucker, he used to talk, and I wasn't hearing him. I heard the story. I want this gold through and through. You know, he's talking about those two balls, you know, that one of them was just gold covered, but the other one was gold through and through. And that's what I want. I want to be gold through and through. I want that. I repented to God when I was thinking about that. I laid in bed. I said, God, I need help. And I thought, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't seem to have this. But I know with his help. I know with his help, every one of us can have it. We can have it. We can have it. God is he's our strength. He's our... Oh, you read in Psalms, David, you know, he'd go down the list telling God he was his buckler, he was his shield, he was his strength. And that's what he is to us. He's our shield, he's our strength, he's our he's our comfort in time of need. I started to pray for Brother Durham the other day. Sister McGowan called me, told me about him. Have you ever felt like you had a direct line to heaven? I said, God, I started to say, God be with Brother Durham. And it was almost like a voice inside me. He is with Brother Durham. He's with him. And Sister York, he's with them. He's with these people. Even if they leave, he's with them. I don't like turning loose of people, but I, you know, like Brother Bass, with, you know, God's with these people. He's with them. And I appreciate God. I appreciate him. He's our friend. You know, that wonderful feeling that you feel when you reach out to him. I love that feeling. I love that feeling. It's a peace. It's a joy knowing that we're on the winning side. I'm glad to be here today. And I don't want it to be a front when I get up here. I don't want it to be a front when I get up here and talk to you folks. I want it to be something that's inside of me. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want it to just flow out because it's just there. It's just there. When I walk down the street, you know, you can't be quiet. You just can't be quiet. People talk about their problems, and you can tell them, hey, there's a strength. There's a strength, you know, that you can have. There's a peace that you can have. There's a joy that you can have. I love all that. I appreciate God being our friend. I appreciate him being our Savior. He's our Savior. I appreciate this church. You people are good people. I like y'all. I mean, I know that sounds a little crazy, but there was a, I mean, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Brother Tucker used to raise a question every once in a while with us back years ago. He said, if everybody in this church was just like you, what kind of service would you have? You know, and if they acted just like you and they worked just like you, what would you do? So I'm thankful to be here as well as my brother, and not only with him, but also with all of you. And I recognize that we're so dependent on God because we don't have, at least I don't have it, maybe some of you do, but if you do, well, I'd sure like to see you use a little more of it. But I'm thinking in terms of all these situations that's going on around us right now. In fact, I asked Ann yesterday, I said, what in the world is the Lord trying to get across to us that, you know, that we haven't learned, we're in need of learning some lessons somewhere or other or something. That's what Brother Smith's been trying to tell us here in the last few weeks. And I'm for speaking up right now and say, Lord, let me get the lesson pretty quick because I sure don't want to be losing anybody or causing anybody any misery that is unnecessary. But Lord, allow us to get the lessons that we need out of the situation. But I'm seeing one thing for sure, and that's the fact that we definitely need God. We definitely need him to help us to get us to the place that we can deal with all these type problems. And I have been thinking scripturally and thinking along the lines somewhat concerning Adam. When God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam was a perfect man in the fact that he had never sinned when God put him there. And then when Adam did sin, it brought the death sentence to humanity. All of us, when we were born in this life, we were born on death's row. That's where we were at. And, you know, we can still be there if we're not careful, from the standpoint that, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he also stated, when he came, you have to look at all the hundreds and thousands of years that took place and had transpired from Adam all the way down to Christ, and how that death was the ruling factor among humanity. And Jesus came and he said, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And of course, here again, it's difficult for us to understand, or it is for me, it's hard for me to perceive the idea that that I can live forever. Is anybody else having problems with that thought that, you know, I'm going to live forever? And it's easy for you to understand that, you know, especially when I get up in the morning and I my joints are popping and muscles, you know, that I thought was all right, they begin to ache a little bit, and I just hear all kinds of cracks and moans and groans from the body that I'm living in, and I'm thinking, you know, Jesus said I can live forever. And I've about come to the conclusion that I'm definitely in need of a new body. I told Ann here some time back, I said, I'm about to believe that when I was put together back years ago, that I was made out of scrap material. And now the junk is falling apart, you know. She laughed at me. But, you know, we're not going to live forever in this body. And to be honest with you, I'm thankful that we're not. Or at least I'm thankful that I'm not. But I'm going to have a new body. You know, a celestial body. But Jesus brought it to this degree when he said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. You want to hear this too? Is that what you're saying? Okay. When he said that I come that you might have life and that more abundantly, we have to understand that, you know, if you look at our penal system, and you understand that a person that is on death row, the only hope that they have is that a governor of the state will write them an amnesty and give them. He may not turn them loose, but he'll give them life. A life sentence instead of death. And you might be surprised at how good you would feel if you knew that being on death's row, there's a lot of difference between being on death's row and receiving a life sentence. Because you're bound to die. You know, you may not die today or tomorrow, but you're going to die. Pretty short order in some cases. But if somebody come in there and handed you a piece of paper and said that the governor has granted you amnesty and you're going to have a life sentence instead of being on death row, you're going to be, you'll be here the rest of your life, that man is probably going to breathe a pretty good breath of relief. And if we understand that we were on death's row until God dealt with our lives, you know, and this idea that humanity and the world has been sown down with this religious thought that when they're born into this world, that their soul is going to live eternal someplace. I mean, all you got to do is just go out there and ask them, and they'll say, yeah, I'm going to live somewhere. And some of them even tell you, yeah, I'm going to go to the bad place if I don't change my ways, but I plan on changing my ways. But wouldn't you like to get to the point where that you're on life's road instead of death's road? And when Jesus come along and touched our lives, it done something for us that sometimes we fail to realize. He took us off death's road, and he give us a chance at eternal life. And it's something that we should have an appreciation for that goes a lot deeper than some do. And here's the reason I'm saying that is because if we're not careful, we can get to the place where we can kind of just take God for granted and say, well, he really didn't do a whole lot. Now here I am aching and hurting and got all these problems. But with all the problems that we have, we're still a blessed people of God. You're a child of God and you're his child until you die, and you're still God's child. Even in death, you're still God's child. Because he said, and remember what Lazarus' sister said to Jesus? Said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. He said, know ye not that I am the resurrection and the life? They didn't know that. And they'd been with him for several years. They didn't know that. But when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I'm sure that something must have really went down in their hearts pretty strong. When they realized that Jesus could bring you back to life, my Lord, what a sight. You know, and here we are, we're in a place where we know that we can't get death maybe eradicated out of our soul at this point, but we're working on it. We're of this mindset here, or at least I am, is that we've got to get our minds renewed in Christ. You know, when I was out in the world, I picked up all the ways of the world. I was born in the world. It's natural. It's normal. You're not going to be born in the world and pick up all the things of God from your birth up. It's not going to happen. But when God begins to deal with your life, he's given you an opportunity at that point, from that point on, to begin to learn about him and his kingdom. And when you learn of his kingdom and learn about him, you're taking on his words. And his words is renewing your mind. Did you know that your mind can be renewed to the point that you can be just like Jesus? It can be done. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But there's a church coming on the scene that's going to have enough of the truth of the Word of God in it to where that you can reach a point in your spiritual walk with God that your mind can get renewed in Christ. And you'll be another Jesus Christ walking on the earth. That's what we're working for. That's what we're working on. And all these things that, you know, we're not interested in just grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and children. We are interested in them. We want them saved. You know, if you have your children in this church here and your grandchildren in this church, are in the body of Christ, you're blessed of God. You really are. But look, we have got to get our lives changed. And, you know, we can't really do it ourselves. If we could, wouldn't we do it? If it was within your power, you know, to be able to go out and just automatically change to a better way of life, a better system that you're working with, wouldn't you do that? But for some reason, God withheld that from us. You know? And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why he withheld that. We can get saved, but it's not within ourselves. We can get baptized, but that's not within ourselves. We can get filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's not within ourselves. It's God that puts those things in our lives. And he gets the praises for it. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. And that's what he wants. He wants a people that will give him the honor for all the things that he's doing for them.
And that's what we're working at. We're trying our best to get to the place where we can accept all the truths of the Word of God and absorb them into our being and give Him the praise and the glory and the honor for all the things that's being said into our minds and in our hearts. Whoo, my Lord, all the things that we have been given to us. The things that I have in my heart and my mind, God put them there. I didn't get them someplace else. I didn't go out and dig all this stuff out, you know, on my own. But God put it in my heart. I want to be one of His children because He's put enough in my life to cause me to want to be drawn into third heaven where He's at. I want to see Him. I want to be a part with Him. Woo! I want to see the man that went to the cross of Calvary and hung there in order for me to have this salvation that I have in my life. I want to talk to Him, don't you? Or do you? I want to see Him. I want to talk to Him. And I've got lots of questions in my mind concerning all the things way back there in the book of Genesis. There's some things there that I don't understand. I'd like to know something about some of them things. And I know that I can talk to the one that done it. Woo, my Lord, what an opportunity we've got. And to come into a service like this and to know that God is dealing with our hearts and lives makes me to appreciate Him even more today than I've ever have in my life. I thank God for the opportunities granted to me to be a part of His great kingdom. You know, when Paul made the statement, He has gathered us together. You know, I know that sounds real simple in a sense. But did you know that if we went some places today, we'd be thrown out? We'd be thrown out. And the reason why that we'd be thrown out is because God didn't gather us there. God didn't gather us there. He gathered us here. Gathered us here. And, you know, if it was left up to me, I'm sorry to admit it, but, you know, some of you may have failed my particular standard. When I say standard, I'm not talking about dress. I'm just talking about a code, you know, that I've drawn up in my mind, you know, that I think that this is the way you ought to be in order to be a child of God. You know what I'm saying? But aren't you glad today that it's not left up to anybody? It's left up to Him. He's the one that's talking to our hearts. He's the one that's dealing with our lives. He's the one that's caused us to feel this feeling on the inside that's gathered us into this place. Aren't you glad that it was Him that done it? Aren't you glad that He's the one that talked to your heart? And then not only that, but Brother Smith gets up and we get behind him and get him airborne. And he gets to talk to us about the great plan of God and the great salvation that He has and the things that He's got in store for us on out here in the future. You know, I get excited about some of those things. I know that God has something great for His people. And that's the reason I'm working today. I'm working to see that come about. You know, I may not live long enough to see all of it finished, but that's okay. Look at all the time that I've had to work on it. I've enjoyed it. I'm having a good time. Are you folks having a good time? Are you enjoying this? Woo! My Lord, aren't you glad that God dealt with your heart? I am. Thank God.
Oh, my life is so much different since the Lord has come into it. I speak to people that, I try to tell them what our services are like, and how the Spirit comes in. And we can't get enough of it. And I go home and dial up the website, listen to it over, that I didn't miss something or something I did miss, didn't understand. Or if I wasn't able to be here. And they look at me a little strange, a couple hours on Sunday, that's plenty for me. Well, it's not for me. I can't get enough of God. He has put such a deep dwelling in my life. I can call on Him day, night, in a crowd, by myself, and He'll respond. He knows what I need. I don't, but He makes it known somehow. And I can't help but when I talk about the Lord to break His Spirit. Is so deep within me. I used to be a person of control. I used to have authority. Grab someone, demand that they do it, and they do it. I was in charge. I am no longer in charge of anything. The Lord is in charge of it all. I would go church shopping before I come here, trying to find the Word of God, the Spirit of God. One day I went to there was one church I went to a few times, and they would have their prepared service. And one day the minister said, I've worked on this diligently all week. He said, but the Lord has put something in my heart. And He delivered a service that struck me deep. That's what I was looking for. That the Lord would speak through somebody, not their knowledge, their will, but His Spirit. That's what I get here. There's nothing ever prepared here but the table is a banquet. Each and every time, no matter how great the congregation or how small, nobody's in charge but the Lord. This is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
everybody's thoughts in the song service, and our God is real, isn't He? And I appreciate that He does carry us on His shoulders, and that we'd go through different phases of our life, seeking God from faith to faith, you know, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And there's a scripture in the Bible, in Hebrews, I think it's 12, says they that come to God must first believe that He is. That's a strange statement, isn't it? I mean, among us, isn't it? How can you not believe God is? That sounds strange, doesn't it? But I was thinking of that, but, you know, Brother McGowan mentioned, Adam was created perfect. And when you read the Old Testament, it moves along pretty quick, and all of a sudden we get to Abraham. And this is Abraham was after the flood. But I guess it looks like that people just forgot God God destroyed the world. Well, in Abraham's day, God told him to encompass the land. And as he was doing so, he came upon a king. And you may have to, I want to say his name was Abimelech. That might not be right. That's one of those names like that. Anyway, you know, Abraham's wife was, as they say, was fair to look upon. And this king took her because I don't know what the custom was that day. Abraham told her to say that she was his sister, which in a roundabout way, she was. And so God started to, I don't know what it was. It was some kind of a curse that came on the king there. And the king considered God, didn't he? So there was still God. God was in the hearts of people's minds back then, wasn't it? Even though they had moved on and people had divided, but God was still in the hearts of men because, you know, He considered God and really He rebuked Abraham, but then He blessed him. You know, what have you done? You know. So that shows us how that you know, that God could, or we say that Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, that he said, they that come to God believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And reminds me of a story I heard. This person... preacher or somebody, I don't know how the thing goes, but was asking God about the condition of the world as we see it today, you know. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send an angel to check out and see what the situation is, you know. So He's sent this angel and throughout all the world. Angel come back and said, God, it don't look too good. And God said, why is that? Well, He said, really only about 15% believe in You, you know. And God said, that's not good, is it? So God said, well, let me get a second opinion and we'll put this criteria with it. You know, He sent the second angel out. And second angel went out and said to all the world and check everything out with the different criteria. And I think God was trying to get His numbers up a little bit, you know, and everything. So he come back and said, God, it's even worse. He said, when we really look at this, only about 5% of the people on earth believe in you, you know. And God said, well, looks like I'm going to have to destroy the world. I said, I can't do it with water because I done put my rainbow in the sky and promised, you know, not to destroy the world by water. And I guess I have to do it by fire. And one of the angels said, oh, no, Lord, what are we going to do about the 5% to believe? You know, and God said, well, I'll just send them a text. And the moral of the story is, how many of us got that text? I'm thankful to be here.
No, sense in putting out the whole bail when the whole herd ain't in. So, well, let's just stand and thank God for today's service, and we'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock. I know there'll be no choir, there'll be shorthanded on band too. No band practice today as well, so we'll just be all make back here at 5 o'clock today. All right, let's stand and thank the Lord for today's service. And we'll come back at 5 o'clock this evening. Thank you, Lord, for today. The good things that were said here today. And for the encouragement in you that we could go home today encouraged. As well as keep your hand on all the ones that are sick here in our church. And abroad, Lord. We pray. Amen, amen. See y'all tonight.